You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. Appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now. We got some good stuff to talk about, some interesting topics that have emerged in the sports world. So before I get started, man, as always, you know, I got to do a little something before I get started into the sports topic. So how many people, by show of hands, and I know I can't see you right now, but if you're listening to the sound of my voice, just raise your hand, tap yourself on the shoulder, do whatever you got to do. How many people were messed up by the time change for the daylight savings time last week? Now, I wasn't messed up. You know, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to sleep. It doesn't serve me a purpose to just stay up and watch the clock change and jump an hour ahead. It's just going to mess my head up. I'm going to be upset, so on and so forth. So I sat on the couch, I cut a movie on, it was about 10:30 or so, ended up dozing off, and I know that you can call me old, I know, I'm approaching, I'll be 30 next year, so 29 this year, 30 next year, so yeah, call it what you want, don't rub it in, it's okay, I'm good. anyway, so I'm laying on the couch, I went to sleep, woke up, it was already by that time like 3 or something in the morning, so I went ahead and went to sleep. But for those of you who stayed up and actually looked at that clock, you were staring and excited and you looked at it and you're like, you know what? Oh, I'm going to stay up and watch it. 11:59 hit. Then it went from 11:59 to 1 o'clock. And it was all fun and games when you watched the clock until you woke up the next day. Tell me I'm lying. And then not only did it mess you up that next day, so this past week, you spent the entire week from Monday all the way till Friday, and some of you are still recovering, trying to get your body adjusted to this time change. You know, waking up early and it's dark outside and having daylight later in the day. But I love it, man. I really love this time of year. And again, I've expressed my excitement about springtime. So it's finally here. And yeah, I hope you guys are recovered enough to listen to the show because we got some good stuff to talk about. So let's jump right into it. So let's just start off with March Madness. So the NCAA March Madness tournament is here, ladies and gentlemen. The time has finally come after being removed for an entire year of not having the NCAA tournament. Of course, it was canceled due to the pandemic, but we're back. We're ready to go now. Tournament games are kicking off today on Friday through the weekend and just through March, man. It's an exciting time. So the March Madness matchups have been set. The first four games were played, which were some exciting games, I might add. There were four games, and a majority of, if not all of them, came down to the final possession. The Michigan State and the UCLA game actually went into overtime last night, which was a great, great game if you didn't stay up and watch that. So let's just take a look into the tournament right now, and I'm going to give you guys some first round matchups that I'm going to be watching. It's just some first round matchups to pay attention to. So as we all know, March Madness is crazy. We can have upsets, so it's unpredictable. You never know what can happen. But I'm just going to list you guys 6 games, and it's going to be 2 from each region that I will have my eye on. So let's start in the West region. So number 8 Oklahoma versus number 9 Mizzou. So Oklahoma is actually opening as a 1-point favorite in this game. So you see how close that is. Number 5 Creighton versus number 12 UC Santa Barbara. So Creighton is only opening as a 7.5-point favorite in this game. In the South region, you got number 5 Villanova versus number 12 Winthrop. Again, another 12-5 game. Those games are always interesting. Villanova opens this game as a 6.5-point favorite. Number 14 Colgate versus number 3 Arkansas. Arkansas is an 8.5-point favorite in that game. Moving on to the East region, number 4 Florida State versus number 13 UNC Greensboro. Florida State is a 10.5-point favorite in that game, so they're pretty favored in that. Number 12 Georgetown versus number 5 Colorado. Again, a third 12-5 matchup. Colorado's only a 6.5-point favorite in this game. And let's move to the Midwest region. Number 3, West Virginia versus number 14, Morehead State. Now, West Virginia is a 13-point favorite in this game, but again, with it just being that early first round matchup, you got to throw that in there because you never know how a team like Morehead State could come out earlier and not saying that they would beat them, but they could give them a scare. Who knows? And finally, number 4, Oklahoma State versus number 13, Liberty. Oklahoma State's opening this game as a 7.5-point favorite. So those are the matchups that I'll be having my eye on. Again, there's so many interesting matchups in this tournament that we could, you know, look forward to that I'm looking forward to. But those are just, again, just a few that I have my eye on. Maybe some potential upsets, potential scares, overtime situations. Who knows? But again, those 12-5 matchups that I listed, I'm going to go over them again. Number 5, Creighton versus number 12, UC Santa Barbara. Number 5, Villanova versus number 12, Winthrop. And number 5, Colorado versus number 12, Georgetown. So pay attention to those. Now, let's talk about the keys to success in the tournament. So there's a lot of different things that go on in this tournament, you know. But I'm going to list 8 keys to success for every team. If you want to be crowned a champion, these are my keys to success for the team. So first and foremost, you have to set the tone early. You have to have high energy. So come out, set the tone, have high energy in the basketball game. I'm not saying set the tone and get wild out there, but let them know that you're here, you're ready to play. You're about business. Have high energy. The bench needs to be involved. They need to be up, energetic, cheering on whoever's on the court. If you're on the court, you need to be hyping up your teammates. If they get fouled, they draw a foul, cheer them on. If they hit a shot, cheer them on. If they make a great defensive play, cheer them on. Set that tone early. Number 2, you have to play with some togetherness, team basketball. There has to be a sense of togetherness in the tournament. You can only do it as a team. This is not a one-man show. The only way that you can maneuver through this tournament and get to a Final Four, get to a championship game, win a championship, is to play with that togetherness and play as a team. Number 3, decision-making. Decision-making is very important in these games. So this is one game. You know, you're playing, look, it's win or go home. Every week you have to go 1-0. Decision-making. Make the right passes. Make the right choices when it comes to shooting the basketball. Coaches, you have to make the correct decision in personnel. Who are you gonna? When are you gonna go big? Or when are you gonna go small? What's gonna be the scheme? Number 4, stay out of foul trouble. Foul trouble can kill you in any basketball game, but especially in the tournament. Getting in foul trouble early, it could really be very detrimental to your team. So you want to play sound defense. You don't want to get off track, reaching. You don't want to take unnecessary fouls. If a player has you beat, I would rather you give up a layup than smack him on the arm, give up an and one, go in, you're midway through the first half and you have 3 fouls. And you're one of the leading scorers, leading shot blockers, one of the best defenders on the team. And now we are going to be without you for an extended a period of time because you got into foul trouble. So be smart. Stay out of foul trouble. Number 5, making free throws. Making free throws is always a key component of every basketball game. They're free. Why not make them? They are free throws for a reason. You need to be able to knock down those free throws, get those free points when you have the opportunity, because those points from the free throw line add up. It may not seem like much in the first half of the game, but as you transition into that second half late in the game and you look back and you lost by 1 or 2 points or 3 points because you missed 4 free throws that could have made up that ground. You missed 1 or 2 free throws late in the game that could have helped you win that game. Free throws, people. Number 6, take and make your open shots. If you have shooters on your team, take those. If you're open, take them. Now, I'm not just saying just take wild, unnecessary shots just because you know, you feel like you can shoot from Steph Curry range. I'm just saying, if you're in your range and if you have a nice mid-range jumper and you're open, shoot it. Take and make the shots. Don't be timid, because if you come out and you are a shooter on the team, knowing that you have the green light, but you're not shooting the basketball early, getting in the rhythm, is going to be detrimental, and it can hurt you later on in that game, because you're going to go into a second half maybe cold. When you do make the decision to start shooting the basketball, you can end up being cold, and that can be very detrimental for your team. Number seven, keeping your composure. Keeping your composure, people. Again, this is March Madness. We will not have huge crowds like we're used to seeing. I do think that there will be some fans in attendance in these games. I do believe that. But it's not going to be a packed house like it normally is. But yet and still, the energy of March Madness, that feel is still there. So as teams go on runs, as you get down in the game, say you go down five, 8 points, and you still have 8 minutes left, you have to keep your composure in those situations. Teams are going to make their runs, but you have to be able to bounce back and make runs of your own. Counter punch. You have to be able to counter the opposing team's their run, you know, because again, like I said, teams are going to get momentum in these games, but it's important to have a short memory, continue to stay in the game. And that's on the leaders of these teams to be able to get their teammates to keep their mindset focused. And it's not only on the leaders on the court, it's also on the coaches as well. And then number eight, last but not least, sticking to the game plan. You go into the game with the game plan, you need to stick to it. Whether are we going to drive and kick? Are we going to run pick and roll? Are we going to attack the glass? Because we know this team plays aggressive on the defensive end and they like to shot block. Are we going to try to go at their best defender and get them in foul trouble? Don't deviate away from the game plan. Now, obviously, you're going to make adjustments in the game. I'm not saying don't adjust, but overall, with your game plan, you don't want to allow another team to get you off your game plan. So, yes, make your adjustments in certain situations, but the overall goal is to stick with the game plan. So, now let's talk about two teams that are favored in this game. And I'm actually going to go over my bracket with you guys. I'm going to give you who my Elite Eight, Final Four, and my champion is right now. And then I'll talk a little bit about those two teams. So let me talk about the two teams. And I'll make y'all wait a little bit. Let me make you wait. Let's talk about the number one overall favorite, which is Gonzaga. So Gonzaga they went 15-0 in the conference, finished 26-0 overall, and again, they're the number one overall seed. They scored 92 points per game, which was first among all Division I teams. And they were third with 18 assists per game, third in the nation. They're led by their forward, Corey Kispert, who leads the team in points per game with 19 and free throw percentage with 89.8%. Kispert has attempted 163 three-pointers and made 44% of them. So there's that three-point threat from a forward in Corey Kispert. They're also led by another forward, Drew Time. He leads the team in field goal percentage with 65.6% and rebounds per game with 7. And he's also averaging 18 points per game. Now, this Gonzaga team, I know, you know, the conference that they're in, it's not really a whole lot of competition. You know, obviously you look at that, they're obviously the dominant force in that competition, but they still do possess very talented players on that team. They have a lot of talent, and not to mention the size. So I think the smallest player on their team is like 6'1". After that is literally 6'3", 6'4", and up, all the way up to 7 feet, which there are other teams like that, but to have Saz like this as a number one overall seed and a favorite, it could really help you in the tournament. So, you know, a lot of people are thinking, you know, Gonzaga's going to take this thing home. So let's talk about another number one seed, and that's Illinois. So Illinois is 23-6. They were the Big Ten champion. They're led by Ayo Dosunmu, their guard, who has 20 points per game. He's averaging 20 points per game, excuse me. He's second in the Big Ten. And he's also averaging 5 assists per game, which is second in the Big Ten. They're also led by their center, Kofi Cockburn, who has 9 rebounds per game, which is first in the Big Ten. And he has 0.655 field goal percentage, which is first among centers in the Big Ten. Illinois has the number 2 scoring offense, and they won 7 in a row entering the tournament. They can shoot mid-range, the 3 ball really well. They play with great pace, the ability to get to the line. They can feed off each other's energy. They play great defense. They hustle. They had a whole package. And they also have good size across their team as well in their roster. So let me go over my bracket now. So I'm just going to skip to let me give you my Sweet 16. No. You know what? I'll just give you my Elite Eight. I'll give you my Elite Eight, my Final Four, and my National Championship. So for the Elite Eight, I have Gonzaga and Iowa, Michigan and Bama, Baylor, Ohio State, Illinois, and West Virginia. For my Final Four, I have Gonzaga against Bama, Roll Tide. You know I got to put Bama in there. Baylor and Illinois. Okay? For the National Championship, I have Gonzaga versus Illinois. And I have Illinois winning the National Championship. Illinois. My hometown state, Illinois. You know, I was born in Chicago on the West Side. Shout out to the West Side. So my home state, Illinois, is going to bring this thing home. Now, obviously, I'm still going to be rooting for my Bama boys. You know, Alabama, that's my alma mater. So Roll Tide all day, every day. But I have 2 teams in this tournament, my alma mater, Bama, and my hometown team, Illinois. Well, they're in Champaign, Urbana, but they're not in Chicago. But still, home state team, Illinois. I'm still going to be rooting for Alabama to win the whole thing. But you know how it is when you're making brackets for, you know, this is a group bracket. Now, there's a lot of stuff on the line. You know, you get your little pot, the pool, you know, everybody may throw in $15, $20. It's fun, you know. So when it's money on the line, I have to pick my bracket a certain way, obviously. That doesn't mean I don't believe in Alabama, but I am trying to be the one who wins this bet that we have going on. But again, Roll Tide all day. Y'all better hope. And before I move to my next topic, I just want to say this. You all better hope and pray that Alabama does not win this national championship. Because if Alabama wins the national championship, you might as well mute. I don't know if I've said this on one of my other shows before or not, and I probably have. You might as well mute Alabama fans, mute us all until the end of time. Mute us. If we win this national championship, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, watch what happens. Just go ahead and mute us. Mute Bama on Twitter. Just whatever you got to do. Mute the words. Mute Roll Tide. Mute all of it. Because it's not going to stop. It won't. I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. We're a football school, and now we're a basketball school too. Come on. So Roll Tide, and also go Illini, go Illinois. So moving on, let's talk about what's going on in the free agency world. So, a lot of crazy stuff going on, man, in free agency, with teams having to get under the salary cap of $187 million that was set by the NFL. There were teams that were over the salary cap significantly, had to get under that salary cap this week. So let's just go over some of the notable free agency signings, releases, etc. So with the Patriots were actually one of the most active teams when free agency hit, literally day one, within the hour of a free agency period beginning, the Patriots were very active. So they actually traded for offensive tackle Trent Brown from the Raiders. They signed the two best tight ends in free agency in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. They signed defensive back Jalen Mills from the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken. And they have wide receivers Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar. So getting Cam Newton some help. So and they also brought back Cam Newton, obviously. So they address some offensive line needs. They get Cam Newton two tight ends so they can go back to that tight end run offense like Bill Belichick loves. He already always loved to have his tight ends when he had, especially when he had Aaron Hernandez and Gronk there in New England with that two tight end set. So you get an opportunity with two young tight ends to go back to that and be able to really allow Cam to eat. And it'll open up that offense even more for him. And let's not to mention on forget to mention on the defensive end, they bring in linebackers Matt Judon and Kyle Van Noy. So they are loaded. And these aren't even all the players that they signed. People like this is just a little bit of the players. They've probably signed like 20 people in free agency so far. They spent the most guaranteed money that they've ever spent in free agency. That's how serious this is. Bill Belichick was tired of that slander. he took it on the chin last year. He was tired of that. He was like, no more. So he just they just went crazy in free agency. And who knows what else is next. And then, you know, not only did they address the O-line needs, then you have Damian Harris and Sony Michel coming back with the running backs. And then you got Julian Edelman. So Cam, I'm glad they brought him back. I'm glad they got him help. So now it's all up to Cam to shine at this point. The Tampa Bay Bucks brought back Shaq Barrett, Levante David, and Gronk. And they franchise tagged Chris Godwin. So that was big. They kept the gang together. They're trying to run it back, obviously, with that Super Bowl run that they had last year. They're trying to do it again. We all know how hard it is to get back to the Super Bowl. But it is very helpful when you can keep the squad together. Will Fuller reached an agreement with the Miami Dolphins. Alex Mack signed with the 49ers. He's a center. The Bears. All right, y'all, bear with me. It's going to take me a little second, you know. I'm hurt, you know, and I'm going to tell you why I'm hurt, you know. The Bears have we have the worst general manager in the NFL, hands down, you know. And as a fan, it's very painful for me to have to sit there and watch year after year after year Ryan Pace destroy our entire organization. Being run by George McCaskey, Regine McCaskey, Ryan Pace's general manager, it's just been awful, you know. It's been awful. Y'all, if you've been seeing what the Bears have been doing, you can feel my pain right now. You should see my face as I'm actually talking about this. It's so hard to talk about without being frustrated, you know. So Ryan Pace, this is his fault. Ryan Pace releases the top Pro Bowl cornerback, Kyle Fuller, which freed up $14 million in cap space. And then after that, you had Allen Robinson actually sign the franchise tag with the Bears for which will net him $18 million for this year. So Ryan Pace, this is all on you. And I'm sorry, y'all. I have to just give me a second, and I'm going to talk about the rest of the free agency. You, Ryan Pace, have put the Bears in so much salary cap trouble over the past years with your decision making that now you're having to cut your best players to create cap space. We already championship ready defense, no offense. And now because of decision making when it came to quarterback, now you're in a situation where you have to literally cut people. to make cap room. You failed at trying to get Russell Wilson. Obviously, the Seahawks weren't going to be able to. They weren't going to trade Russell Wilson right now anyway, only because if they traded him before June 1st, they would take on a $39 million cap hit against their cap. So they're not going to do that. So if they do a trade, which is not ruled out yet, it wouldn't happen until after June 1st or draft time, one of the two. But anyway, Ryan Pace, I don't get it, man. I mean, you brought in, and then they signed Andy Dalton, you know. It's crazy, man. So in his time, he as general manager, he's actually brought in Mike Glennon, Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky, and now Andy Dalton. I'm just gonna leave it there. You know what? Let's move on because it's painful. It's painful. Bear down, though. I'm still a Bears fan. I'm still going to be a Bears fan till the day I die. Okay. So AJ Green actually reached an agreement with the Cardinals. So interesting here. So he's going to join DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitz, and Christian Kirk. So they're loading up for Kyler Murray. He's going to have a nice wide receiver core. That's going to be an exciting offense to watch. Can't wait for fantasy because I'm going after somebody. You got to cash in on these players that are on these new teams, man. Mitchell Trubisky actually signed with the Bills. Wide receiver Corey Davis, who's with the Titans, who was released by the Titans, he actually reached an agreement with the New York Jets. So those are some of the notable moves and stuff that's been going on in free agency. And there's still more to come. There's still stuff happening right now as I'm speaking to you. So we don't know what else is next. There's so much more left with free agency. So continue to just pay attention to that. And let's real quick talk about some of the free agents that are still available. So I'm going to list 12 of these free agents that are still actually available and looking for teams. So you got Kenny Galladay, who's a wide receiver. You got Juju Smith-Schuster, another wide receiver. You got Mitchell Schwartz, offensive tackle, and Eric Fisher, offensive tackle. So these were both the starting offensive tackles for the Chiefs. They were both released to clear up cap space. So people looking for offensive line help, those two guys are out there. You got Richard Sherman, veteran cornerback. Jadeveon Clowney on the edge. Golden Tate. T.Y. Hilton, Ndamukong Suh, Antonio Brown, Xavier Woods, a safety, Malcolm Butler, cornerback. So still some names out there, people still looking for homes and looking for new teams. So we'll continue to track that, continue to monitor free agency, because you never know, man, something crazy might happen while you're listening to this. So I hope you have your notifications on for ESPN, Bleacher Report, whatever sports outlet that you follow. Continue to pay attention, because in the blink of an eye, a good move, a huge move could be made. Let's jump into the NBA right now and talk about Anthony Davis. So Anthony Davis is said to be out now for at least another 3 to 4+ weeks and beyond. So how much of a concern is this for the Lakers? So let's just look at Anthony Davis. So let's backtrack for a second. So it was originally announced that he was going to be out 4 weeks on February 19th when he went down with the right calf strain and the tendinosis. So the Lakers were 21-7 through February 14th with Anthony Davis. But since losing him, they had gone on there. They did go on a stretch of 10 games where they went 4-6. Anthony Davis, when he was there, he was averaging 22 points on 53% shooting, and he averaged 8 rebounds per game. But since then, after the All-Star break, the Lakers, they've gone 4-0. They're actually learning how to play without Anthony Davis, which this has actually been a blessing in disguise for them to be able to put things together and learn how to play without him. I still however, think that it is an area of concern with the uncertainty of when he will be back. Again, you're talking about a guy who's, he's averaging 22 points and then 53% shooting. And then he's a monster on the defensive end. Shoot the three ball, shoot the mid-range game. He can really open that offense up so much. But the thing that's really been working for the Lakers was the return of Dennis Schroeder. You know, he's actually helped LeBron a lot. And not only that, Kyle Kuzma has continued to step up and play big off the bench. So again, they've been able to string this thing together and go on a run, and they're still playing with the sense of togetherness. Of course, they're being led by LeBron James, and he's been balling as usual and putting the team on his back. However, and right now they're second in the West behind the Jazz. They're only a game and a half back from first, and this is without Anthony Davis. But again, he's out four more weeks and beyond. So that uncertainty, when he does return, my concern is, how is he going to play when he finally comes back? Is he going to try to be Superman, or is he going to allow the game to come to him? Because, you know, oftentimes when players come back from major injuries and they're out an extended period of time, they're coming back and they're wanting to get back to that level that they once were when they first were injured. Before they were injured, excuse me. So how is Anthony Davis going to come back whenever he does come back? How is he going to look? Is he going to be rusty with him not obviously being able to do a whole lot practice wise with him still having this injury? How is Frank Vogel going to monitor his minutes? Is he going to be on restricted minutes? Is he going to be load management? You know, We got to pay attention to those things. And then the concern, you know, looking at the stretch, the Lakers do have a tough, you know, a little tough stretch going through the rest of the second half of the season. You know, they play the 76ers. They got the Bucks, the Nets. Of course, they play the Clippers a few times. At one point, they have Utah and Dallas back to back. So they play Utah twice, I think in a matter of like 2 days, and then after that the same with Dallas in a matter of 2 days, and then obviously you got Denver, another team that's a tough team. So I do think that there is an area of concern just because of the unknown of when Anthony Davis will be back. Now, yes, they can continue to ball and continue to play together, and they can still win games. But when you're going up against the big dogs like the other teams that I mentioned, when they're at full strength, that's going to be a tall task. So you want to continue to have some momentum, and then hopefully get him back before this season is over. At least with enough time for him to be able to get in a rhythm going into the playoffs. So right now, again, the Lakers are sitting pretty right there in that second spot in the West. So if they can continue to ball and win some tough games, and you know, they'll be right there in the driver's seat. But again, Anthony Davis gives this offense so much, and he provides so much and takes so much off of LeBron's shoulders. So again, hopefully, you know, we'll see when he returns, and we'll see how effective he can be. And last but not least, let's just touch on going to take it back to the NFL. There's been a huge story that just broke in regards to Deshaun Watson. And this is very, very interesting, people. So Deshaun Watson has actually been accused of sexual assault in multiple lawsuits. So let's just talk about what's going on right now with this. So they have just reached a third civil lawsuit who's just been filed against Deshaun Watson, which is accused him of sexually assaulting a massage therapist in December of 2020. Now, this lawsuit was filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby on Wednesday night. Busby has said that there's 9 total cases against Watson, and only 3 of them, like I just mentioned, only 3 civil lawsuits have been filed so far. In this third lawsuit, it actually has a statement that reads, Watson's behavior is a part of a disturbing pattern of preying on vulnerable women. And there are reported to be text messages and DMs that were allegedly sent by Watson to these women, to a few of these women that have actually come out and filed the had the lawsuits filed against him. So I want to say it's two so far. Two, well, I think all three that have filed the lawsuit are claiming that they have proof through text message evidence. And then there's the most recent one who said that it was actually in person, again, with the massage therapist. Watson has come out and he's made a statement on Twitter since these allegations have come about. And he said that this is about clearing my name. And I look forward to doing that. He also said, I have never treated any woman with anything other than the utmost respect. Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, said that he is comfortable with the type of person Watson is, and the allegations are inconsistent with the kind of person he is. Now, the NFL is currently reviewing the matter as these cases and stuff actually unfold. They're actually reviewing it closely and kind of monitoring the situation. Now, this... And don't get me wrong, okay? Let me first start off by saying we never want to be insensitive when it comes to anything involving sexual assault, okay? Not in any way, shape, or form saying that, we should take this situation lightly. Anytime, you know, something comes out like this, obviously they're going to look into this situation, okay? But let me just... From my personal opinion, this is all very fishy and it's very, very, very weird. And the timeline of this all just does not add up. You know, I really feel that this is not something that's going to go well. I do not think that Deshaun Watson is that type of person to do something like that. Now, if it's true, you know, I'm not one to sit here and be insensitive to anything about sexual assault. But let's look into this situation, okay? I've already mentioned kind of what we know right now. But let me tell you about something that some of you guys might not know about the attorney Tony Busby. Okay. Busby is actually friends with, and he was once a neighbor of Texans owner Bob McNair. Okay. Listen to what I just said. He's friends with him, and he was once neighbors with the Texans owner, Bob McNair. He's actually been described as a big, mean, tenacious, fire-breathing Texas lawyer. Okay. Again, as I mentioned before, this timeline of this is weird. You know, this is all happening after Watson was vocal with the team, with the organization. He told them that he wants out and he won't play if they franchise tag him. Okay. So he met with the GM, Nick Caserio, the head coach, David Culley. He told them straight up, I'm not playing. If you franchise tag me, I want out. Nothing changes. No matter what you do, I still want out. So now all of a sudden, not too far, you know, not even a couple of weeks after this stuff is, you know, he's been out and said that he's been adamant about being, getting out of Houston and wanting to be traded. And now all of a sudden, these allegations are coming out against him. Could the Houston Texans organization be behind this? And call it a conspiracy theory if you want to, but this is something that we got to talk about, people, because people out here will do so many things to defame you. You know, it's called defamation. Defamation is real, people. They want to put a bad rep on your name, blackball you out of the league. We saw what happened with Colin Kaepernick. He was blackballed. You know, he was blackballed. Now, the Deshaun Watson situation, he doesn't want to be there. Imagine how the owner, Bob McNair, is probably upset about that. The GM is upset about it. The head coach is upset about it, because no matter what they do, Deshaun Watson is not going to play. And on top of that, not only can he afford, he, what's making him even more mad about it is he can afford not to play through his endorsements. Like I mentioned before, two of his biggest endorsements, Nike, Beats by Dre, and there's a few others. He can afford to sit out. So they're probably very, very upset about that. So what do they do? Are they behind this? Could, it's a very, very strong possibility that they could be behind this, trying to get, you know, a bad name on, a bad rep on Deshaun Watson, get him kicked out of the league, you know, and have teams not even want to look his way. It is possible. I'm not saying that that's true, but it's something to think about. It's a possibility, and that's the reality in the world that we live in, with people who are out to get you. When people are upset, people will do whatever it takes to bring you down. I'm hoping that this stuff isn't true. You know, I want to see Deshaun Watson continue to, you know, play at a high level, be able to play in the NFL, go to a team where he can really thrive and really go after a Super Bowl. Because, again, the Texans didn't really do anything to help him out. They got rid of his best weapon, DeAndre Hopkins. They didn't protect him. He has no running backs, nobody to throw to. He's running for his life. He was sacked, you know, when top sacked, like top three most sacked quarterbacks in the league. Top five, at least. You know, it got ridiculous. But again, I would hope that this wouldn't be true. And don't put it past ownership to have something to do with this now. I'm telling you, don't look past it. But hey, that's all I have for you all. I appreciate you giving me your time as always to talk some good, healthy sports talk, man. Again, if you hadn't filled out those brackets, man, get the brackets filled out and have fun with this, man. March Madness is here. I love it. I'm excited. You should be too, man. Until next week, same time, same place. Appreciate you listening to Lace Up. Be blessed. Peace.